I love to hear all the talking. It's great to hear folks greeting each other, and hopefully we'll be able to continue the fellowship after the service, as well as this morning we are planning to receive communion together, and Pastor Al will be leading us in that time. One of the things that we try to do is that when we have a communion Sunday, which is about every other month, usually on the first Sunday of the month, but we vary it sometimes for a variety of reasons. But when we do have communion on a given Sunday, we seek to be able to do that without being too rushed. So just to let you know, the message this morning will be a little bit shorter, and we seek to just be able to have time to celebrate our Lord Jesus and the wonderful gift of eternal life that he has given to us, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of restoration. So we are glad that we're able to do that today. We are in the midst of a series, and I'm going to give a little bit of a review, but also add some additional comments today, and probably next Sunday officially will be the end of this series. But we're talking about life's change points, embracing God and those shaping surprises. And I'll show it more in just a moment, but life has, in a sense, different chapters. And in between the different chapters of life are what I've termed change points. And so we're talking about trying to understand how that works, and also, especially hopefully next week, if things work out as I'm planning, just to get some guidelines from the example of Jesus as to how to handle change points. But today, the focus of this message is speaking about the greatest change point ever. And you may imagine what that is, but the greatest change point ever took place with Jesus' death on the cross. That was absolutely the greatest change point that ever happened. And even if you pick up your Bible, you will see that there is Old and New Testament. And the pivotal point, the pivotal change point, I know it's the birth of Christ, but all through the Gospels, it is moving forward to that greatest change point of the cross, Jesus' death on the cross. So we're going to be looking at that today, especially we are going to be looking at three different figures, and we're going to be looking in John chapter 19. You can open your Bibles there if you'd like, and also if you have a bulletin, you can open it up on the lower right-hand corner. We have a few scripture verses that we're going to be looking at. There is a Bible in the pew in front of you along with the hymn book, so if you'd like to follow along there, you may. But we're going to be looking at three different people who experienced this change point. John, and this is from the film, The Passion of the Christ. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus. And I'd like to just comment about some surprises that tend to happen in the midst of life's change points. And a change point may be going from elementary school to junior high. Who here has gone from elementary school to junior high? Hand up. Okay. Who has just gone through this week or this month? Or you're going to go this coming month? So the twins back there, okay, you guys have. And I'm curious, who has gone or is going, who is currently going from junior high to senior high? Do we have anybody in here right now? Okay. Yeah, Sarah's upstairs, but okay. And college, we heard a few weeks ago from Jake Zook, who was headed off to college. Mom and Dad say he got there, and he did think to communicate with you, so you know he's doing well. And I know there are others who are beginning as well. But change points can have to do with schooling. It can have to do with marriage. And Tyler and Jennifer are back from their honeymoon, and the house that they were moving into wasn't quite ready, so you had a little unexpected change point there. But as of yesterday, you're in your own house, right? So great, we celebrate. That's a change point as you begin your married life. So there are all kinds of different change points, but here are some surprises that take place in life's change points. One is that life will never be the same. I remember when Laura and I had moved to Brazil in order to do church planting there. And my oldest sister, her husband, and their two daughters had also gone to Brazil to assist us in the church planting there. And I remember one night, in fact, foolishly, I had pulled an all-nighter. You know what pulling an all-nighter is? Those in the Charles family seem to almost all know what that is. I didn't sleep. I was working on some project. Who knows what I thought was so important. But I stayed up all night, and I was working into the next day when sometime around noonish or early afternoon, I got a phone call, and I was almost unable to understand it. First of all, my sister was on, but she was not her normal self. And then a doctor came on and said, your sister and her husband and daughters were in a car accident. A truck with a drunk driver hit them head on. My brother-in-law had head trauma. They didn't know how seriously. Both my sister and my niece, one niece, were injured somewhat, not seriously. But my other niece, he said, her one eye is completely lost its sight, and her other eyeball we don't even know where it is. Turns out it was the left eyeball that was in the right nasal passage. So I knew that they needed to be transported some 6 hours to the capital city, and that they needed to have a hospital team ready to meet them, and they were only going to get there about 1 o'clock in the morning. So I knew that we had to pull that together somehow by phone, 500 miles or 350 miles away. I also knew that we needed to get to them, and so extreme tension. And then trying to drive 10 hours, having pulled an all-nighter the night before. Fortunately, Laurel kept me awake. I'm not quite sure how, but she did. I can tell you that I knew instantly that my life would never be the same. In fact, if you go through the most traumatic moments in my life, that rates among the top few. My life was not going to be the same. To say nothing about my 12-year-old niece, who God miraculously restored her sight. That eyeball that was over here actually was recovered, and today she has about 20/40 vision in that eye. But there are times when you go through transition points where you simply realize life is never going to be the same again, and that tends to happen with life's change points. But it's also good to know that what seems like a total defeat, total failure, can become complete joy and unexpected fulfillment. And I don't have the time to tell you how God redemptively worked through the story I just told you, and how God was honored in many ways. Now, has it been without additional struggles on the part of my niece? No, not at all. It's been very challenging for her. But it's amazing, and she has a clear testimony of how God graced her in spite of all of that, all that she faced. And so there's this this common experience in the midst of life's change points that there are times where you wonder, how in the world can anything good come out of this change point? And amazingly, God in his redemptive love and power is able to turn things around for good. And then the steps God takes to walk us through life's change points are able to transform not only our situation, but our character, our focus, and our relationships. So just a couple comments about what can happen in the midst of life's change points. Now, I would like if you would read with me these verses. You can read from the bulletin or from the screen here. Let's just read these verses together. They're in the midst of the story of the crucifixion, and it talks about three people right here in these few verses. Let's read together. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that all was now completed, And so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your wonderful grace given so freely to us, and for the protection that you offer, for the instruction you give, for the strength you provide, for the steps that you take in order to help us through life's change points. And Father, what I am asking is that from this quick look into Scripture and how it is reflected in life's change points, I ask that you would speak a word to every one of us, that we would hear the message that we need, and that as we receive communion today, that we would do so with the understanding that as we receive communion, we are again affirming the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest change point that ever took place, that makes it possible for us to live in victory and in joy. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, life is made up of chapters, each one unique with its own special focus. So here's a personal example of John or Mary Smith. They might have childhood, teenage years, college, early career, marriage and parenting, grandparenting, retirement. It's just a sample that you have these chapters connected by life's change points. So in between these, in many people's lives, you would be able to notice that there was a particular period of time where it went from this chapter to that chapter. Now, these change points can have some common characteristics. It means that things will not be the same again. It's often uncomfortable. There's often a sense of uncertainty as to what the future holds. Sometimes you just feel disoriented. You don't know what to do. You don't know what's expected. In fact, a very practical example for me was when at 5 years of age, I went with my parents and four siblings to Brazil. And things that were very common to us suddenly were not common. So for instance, my mom stepped out on our porch where we were shortly after we moved there. And as she stepped out on the porch, she looked over and there was a young girl on the porch right by the neighboring house. So mom waved to her. Well, it turns out that waving in Brazil is like washing a mirror. You do like this or like this. You don't do like this. Do you know what this means? This means come here. By the way, this you only do to an animal. You would never in Brazil do this to a person. That is extremely offensive. This is the way you say come here to a person. So mom waves and the girl walks out, you know, goes out her gate, up the sidewalk, in the gate, and looks up at my mom. And my mom has no clue what's going on at all. I don't know how long it took her to find out, but that was not waving. So my dad, I think one of the very first mornings, or the first morning that we were living by ourselves there in Brazil, he knew two things in Portuguese. One was thank you, and one was good morning. Obrigado and bom dia. So he got up bright and early, and somebody walked by the house, and he was all excited that he could use his Portuguese. He said, obrigado, which means thank you. And the man just looked at him. Life's change points simply leave you oftentimes feeling disoriented. And you long for some stability, for something that's going to keep you from being, you know, just swept from side to side. And it oftentimes then leads to some change in perspective and to growth. Now, we're going to look especially at how this applies to the three people here, John, Mary, and Joseph. Let's look at the example of John. And I just...
You said Joseph.
Okay. Sorry. Did I say John, Mary, and Joseph? Okay. Thank you for correcting me. Sometimes you could just feel disoriented, you know? So, here's an example of John. And I took what I know from the Bible about John's life, and I just imagined some chapters. There was an unknown childhood. He was a fisherman. He became a disciple of Jesus. And then after the resurrection, he became a disciple, an apostle, a leader in the church, and he also became a caring son to Mary. Those two chapters are like side by side, and they reflect the passage that we just read. And then he was exiled to the island of Patmos, and he received a revelation, and he died as a father in faith. By the way, do you know what his last whispered words when he died? Do you know what they were? He's lying there, knowing that he's ready to go be with the Lord, and some of the people he was mentoring, some of his disciples gathered around, and they leaned over him, and they said, "John, do you have any final word for us?" And his last words were, "Love one another." He was that father in the faith. So there were, of course, change points between each of these. And what we're going to look at, especially today, is what happened at that change point of the crucifixion when he and Mary were standing there by the cross. We're going to look especially at that. Now, here's an example of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Again, an unknown childhood, apparently in the town of Nazareth. She was a pregnant bride with tremendous stigma placed on her because of that. She became a young mother in a town that she apparently didn't know. It was apparently Joseph's background town, but we aren't aware that Mary would have known anybody in this town, so she was a young mother at that point. Sometime she then became a fugitive mother because they fled to Egypt to protect the life of Jesus. And then she was a returning mother coming back. If you can imagine, she had left Nazareth. She had gone to Bethlehem. She had gone to Egypt. Now she's coming back a number of years later. Do you think that the rumor mill had completely stopped by then? I suspect not. She apparently became a single mom. At some point along the line, it would appear as though Joseph died. And so she would have been a single mother at some point. And then she became the opposite of a helicopter mom. Everybody know what a helicopter mom is? A helicopter mom is a mom who hovers over the children. I heard of one who even called her son every morning at college to make sure he got up for his classes in time. Do you hear the rotors of the helicopter? But Mary had to become a letting go mother. There had to have been things that she just did not understand and she had to let go of. And then she became an amazed mother, amazed by the fact that in the midst of all the pain and loss, what she now was seeing was resurrection and newness of life. So we're going to look at we're going to look particularly again at what took place there as she not only let Jesus go in ministry, but also to the point of death prior to her being raised by resurrection. So we're going to take a quick look at that. And now if we can look at the example of Jesus, what would have been some of his chapters? Well, birth in Bethlehem, and we don't know if this happened immediately, but it must have happened before he was 2 years of age, because when the wise men came and told Herod, and then he tried to kill off this king of the Jews, he killed all the children two and under. So it's quite possible that Mary and Joseph with Jesus stayed in Bethlehem for some months, maybe almost up to 2 years. And then they fled to Egypt, and they were there for a period of time. We don't know how many years. We do know he was back and went to the temple when he was 12. So a maximum of 10 years in Egypt, maybe it was 3 or 5 or 7, we don't know. And then growing up, adolescence, teenage years in Nazareth, at some point, and I put this in parenthesis and a question mark, did he become the son responsible for his mother and younger siblings? So along with the profession of being a carpenter, or some say, what did they say, a stone layer, mason? Some translations of the word carpenter would say that he was someone who laid stone within that culture more than a carpenter as we would envision it. But anyway, then 3 years of public ministry, and then there was the death and resurrection, and then he had 40 days of resurrected life here on earth, and then he returned and was seated with God the Father, and he is going to return as Savior and Lord. So there were, you know, we could look at change points through all of these, but what we're going to particularly look at is the change point, of course, of his death and what took place that day there. So again, now we come back to the passage of Scripture. So near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, a few other people. John was there as well. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. You know, steps in the midst of changing chapters, this is what God often does during life's change points that makes it possible for us to thrive. And we're going to take a quick look at how God speaks, how God transforms, how God encourages, how God provides, and God steers. But let's look at these change points in their lives. My slides aren't in quite the order I thought they were. Surprises and life change points, I said before. Let's look at the bottom item there, which is what we want to focus on in the next 5 minutes. The steps God takes to walk us through life's change points are able to transform not only our situation, but our character, our focus, and our relationships. And here's what God did that day. I just want to give as an example how God related to Mary, John, and Jesus, not Joseph. Mary, John, and Jesus. First of all, God spoke to them. Here, if you can recall the picture up there, if you can just have in your mind Mary, some others, John standing there as Jesus is being crucified. The pain that they're going through, the sense of loss, the bewilderment, the confusion, all those characteristics of disorientation, all of that taking place. And in the midst of that, think what it must have meant to Mary to have God speak to her through Jesus, as Jesus, in the midst of his suffering, looked at her and cared enough that he provided for somebody else to care for her. And he said to her that John was now to be her son. And he provided for her in that way. Speaking to John as well, "Here is your mother." Again, paying very clear attention, but I don't know. I don't think John went on an ego trip. But don't you think it would have been an amazing thing to have Jesus entrust the care of his mother to you? Bernie, if Jesus had said, "This is my mother, will you take care of her?" I mean, you'd probably be shaken at the knees, you'd probably be feeling overwhelmed, but there would have to be a sense inside of, wow, did Jesus ever just trust me? And it must have been a powerful way of speaking. And God speaking to Jesus during that time as well, let's talk about the transformation that took place. With Mary there and John, both of them experienced a transformation in family. And that was one of the things that, as I prepared for today, just kept coming back to me, is that one of the transformations that took place was that Jesus rearranged a family unit. Do you know that sometimes family units get rearranged? It's just something that over the last weeks, as I've thought about sharing this message today, has just come back to me over and over again, is that God can transform us and God can transform family units. Even as God was transforming Jesus from being there on the cross, what many people would have thought was a victim, to in a few days he was going to be seen as the Lord and as the risen Savior. Encouragement. Again, the standing with each other, the provision of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, to have them stand together as family and encourage one another
That was all a part of what was taking place. And for Jesus to look down and see those women, to see his mother, to see John, to see them joining him in his pain and his loss, certainly would have been encouragement for him as well. And provision for strength for Mary and John to go through that experience, provision for family, provision for focus, provision for Jesus in carrying the cross up the hill, provision for Jesus when he said he was thirsty. But most of all, and this is a topic I don't have time to get into, but I thought it struck me in preparation for today as well. We very rarely hear about the Holy Spirit and the crucifixion. Obviously, when we think of the crucifixion, we think of Jesus on the cross. We also think of God the Father and what must have been happening between the two of them as Jesus took on all of our sin. Why Jesus would have then said, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, as he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But where was the Holy Spirit during all of that time? I think that there's a relationship there where, remember when Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted after he was baptized? Who led him into the desert? The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert. I don't think the Holy Spirit is often referred to in thinking of the crucifixion, but I believe that the Holy Spirit was right there, empowering Jesus, enabling him, strengthening him, providing for him the strength that he needed to be able to endure the cross. And steering, providing direction, including about family life, to Mary and John. Steering Jesus to say those words that are now repeated 2,000 years later. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I was struck, I had seen the Passion of the Christ before, but as I was looking through parts of it again this week, I was struck by something I had not noticed before. In the movie, The Passion of the Christ, right after Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, one of the chief priests walks by, and the sinner on the cross, who asked Jesus to remember him, looks right at the high priest and says, he said that to you. And you see the shocked look on the priest's face. And I had never really noticed that little piece. But God steered, God directed Jesus to extend forgiveness, which then guides our lives in the midst of any chapter of life, but also especially during the change points when we oftentimes feel uncertainty and we feel confused. I'm going to close in prayer, but I would like to say to you today that I believe with all of my heart that as we go through life's change points, that God will speak to us, that he will transform us, that he will encourage us, that he will provide for us, and that he will steer us. And that when that change point is over, when we have walked through that change point, we will discover with amazement that God has done above and beyond anything we could have asked or thought or imagined because of his power. Bethany, the song we sang, because of his power that is at work within us. Let's pray. Lord, you would know why you put this particular theme on my heart of life's change points. And you know exactly every change point that every one of us is going through, or those we may go through and don't even know yet. And I ask that you would, in your grace, that you would take those steps so vital for us to survive and thrive in life's change points. I pray, Lord, that you would speak and that we would hear you speak. I pray, Lord, that you would transform us, transform our situation, transform our focus. But I pray that you would transform our understanding. I pray that you would encourage, that you would fill us up with courage to know that because of your strength in us, we may be weak and our flesh may fail, but you never will. And encourage us with that truth. And provide, Lord. I don't know if the provision is moral or ethical or spiritual or financial or relational, whatever it may be, but God, in the midst of the change points, please provide. And then please steer us. Steer us, guide us in the way that would honor you. And we ask that as you take these steps, we would join you in these steps. And that we would experience you doing above and beyond what we can imagine. That we would stand amazed at the way, over time, you have acted in such a gracious way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.